our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 325, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart. And what follows, Psalter 325, the first three stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Colossians 3. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, a long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, as singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. And knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Lord, when in this evening by renewal we may come up to thy house, and thou grant us so many blessings, a warm house, a warm church, and then to examine our hearts, whether we may be thankful for all those common mercies which thou bestoweth upon us and our children so continually and so faithfully. Mercies which thou granteth unto us, but for so many people upon the earth, they are not common mercies. They are not daily mercies, where there are many upon the earth that miss the bare necessities of life, even in this day, that had nothing to eat. And what maketh us to differ outwardly, but also concerning the truth of thy holy word, where for most of the people upon the earth, they do not have that truth, do not even have the Bible, and so many are being deceived, and many under a strange religion. Ah, Lord, thou hast a people upon the earth that also learn that for those special mercies, special blessings, special deliverances, that the true thankfulness that they cannot bring forth, but that it is a gift that comes from above. May it please thee to grant humble and broken hearts by the first time or by renewal, and even more so when we consider who thou givest all those common mercies and also special mercies to, and that is a sinful people that takes so much for granted, transgressors of the womb, busy with their own kingdom and their own honor. Lord, then also in this evening hour, then we need the pardoning of our great and manifold sins. We humbly ask thee, may it please thee to bless thy holy word, that in this evening, that sinners, young and old, may be converted unto thee, to be given to experience the precious things of the Lord. Ah, Lord, in these dark and solemn times, do a great work amongst us and our children, a work from generation to generation. Wilt thou remember thy people in this evening hour? Thou knowest who they are. May it be for instruction, comfort, encouragement, and deeper uncovering, and also for examination. Do bless the means of grace, thy holy word, amongst us, in the family circles, in the church, and in the school. We commend thy church unto thee, the established churches, the persecuted church, the Jewish people, the Gentiles, those that live in Egyptian darkness. Wilt thou remember all mission work? With thy help, then the sowers of the seed, they attempt to bring it to the ears. It is the work of the Spirit to bring it into the heart. Thy judgments are hanging low over the earth. May those judgments be used that sinners may be given to turn and flee unto thee, the living God. By renewal, we commend our poor nation unto thee. Wilt thou remember the federal government? Wilt thou remember the provincial government? Wilt thou remember all the inhabitants sorely needed, that there may be prayer and that there may be a repentance with a confession of sin, even if it may be as with the Ninevites, already a blessing, but, O Lord, may thou use it for us and our children, that we may be given to see that the times are so solemn and so serious, and the clouds of thy judgments hanging so low over us. But with thee, then there is still hope and expectation that it may be used, that many sinners may be made restless and to be given to seek for that one thing needful, to become one of thine, to be placed under thy precious banner, and to become a soldier of Jesus Christ. We remember the many blessings when thou granteth it in 5 days at this time, then a young couple will have been united in holy matrimony, made their vows before thee, before each other, the midst of the family circles, and in the midst of the congregation, and they will have begun life's journey together, as husband and wife, O Lord, wilt thou remember them? May they need thee. Grant them a special place at thy footstool. Impress upon their hearts, it is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. Ah, may they be given to beg of thee, that thou may go before them as the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, and that it may be a marriage for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name, that they truly, by thy work in their hearts, may also be a hand and a foot to one another. O Lord, do convert them early. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies where a family is called upon to come from afar? Wilt thou bring them safely to this place? When thou granteth it, then on the same day, an old husband and wife hope to commemorate that it was 55 years ago that they were united in holy matrimony. Then thou wilt have brought them hitherto reasons to erect an Ebenezer. But, O Lord, they are becoming old concerns, especially with regard to the health of Father, where he is becoming more frail, becoming weaker. We commend them both unto thee, the children, the whole family circle. Above all things, do convert them, as thou hast converted all thy people. We remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, those that have brought children, other dear ones to the grave. Wilt thou remember orphans? Remember all of our elderly. Remember all under the physician's care, those that stand in need of healing and strengthening. May the callings be sanctified. Remember handicapped ones. Remember crosses and burdens. Bless the family circles with love. Remember those that are struggling with temptations and addictions. Well, to grant prayer for one another. Provide for our daily bread. Wilt thou remember those that have lost their employment? The reason is known unto thee, O Lord. Wilt thou care, and wilt thou provide? Remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. We humbly ask thee for thy help. Grant a few words to speak. May thy word go forth with power divine. Ah, Lord, wilt thou remember us and our children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, and under thy solemn judgments? Oh, give us not over to the hardness of the heart, the greatest judgment that can come upon a people. Then it shall be a judgment in the judgment, Lord. Cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Turn us, and we shall be turned. Wilt thou then grant a good and a profitable hour in thy house? Take away everything that can be a hindrance, and do pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. A Psalter 428, the stanzas 1, 2, and 5. How blessed are the perfect in the way, who walking in Jehovah's law with pleasure, preserve their piety from day to day. How blessed are they who make his word their treasure, who keep his testimonies and display their love for him whose goodness none can measure, and what follows. Psalter 428, 1, 2, and 5. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 33, the question and answers 88 through 91. Question 88, of how many parts doth the true conversion of man consist? Answer, of two parts, of the mortification of the old and the quickening of the new man. Question 89, what is the mortification of the old man? Answer, it is a sincere sorrow of heart that we have provoked God by our sins, and more to hate and flee from them. Question 90, what is the quickening of the new man? Answer, it is a sincere joy of heart in God through Christ, and with love and delight to live according to the will of God in all good works. Question 91, but what are good works? Answer, only those which proceed from a true faith are performed according to the law of God and to His glory, and not such as are founded on our imaginations or the institutions of men. Lord's Day number 33 speaks of the true conversion of man. Four thoughts. First, the warfare in this conversion. Secondly, the mortification of the old man. Thirdly, the quickening of the new man. And fourthly, the examination of this conversion. The true conversion of man, the warfare in this conversion, the mortification of the old man, the quickening of the new man, and the examination of this conversion. Thus first, the warfare in this conversion. Beloved congregation, when we read the first question of this Lord's Day, then it could be the question that comes in our mind, how is it now, after the instructor has already spoken so much, how that the Lord saves and leads His church, that in Lord's Day number 33, then there is spoken of the true conversion of man. Of course, we have heard of that conversion in Lord's Day number 32, where there is asked in question 87, can they not be saved who continually in their wicked and ungrateful lives are not converted to God? Then we have heard the necessity of that true conversion, and that conversion that takes place while we are in the land of the living. had thus in this evening hour, then each and every one, from the smallest child to the oldest one in our midst, then we do well to examine our hearts very closely, whether we are converted, because a mistake concerning this matter, that is an eternal mistake. And when in this evening there is spoken of the true conversion of man, oh, that tells us and our children that it is still possible. Thus question 88, that is reference to Lord's Day number 32. And nevertheless, undoubtedly there are those that think, but would it not have been better and more profitable that the instructors at the beginning of our catechism has spoken of the true conversion of man? Of course, we have heard the way that the Holy Spirit leads his people. Then we must understand that concerning the conversion of man, then that word conversion, that can be understood in the narrower sense, but also in the broader sense. In the narrower sense, then we speak of regeneration. That is the moment that a sinner is born again, when the Lord begins that good work. Of course, I'm not wrong to use that word of conversion in that narrower sense. Then we must ask the Lord every day, my unconverted fellow travelers, that the Lord may convert us by his irresistible grace, and to be given to experience the precious things which we have heard of in this morning hour. Concerning the true conversion, then in the first place so necessary, because Christ has said to Nicodemus, except a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. In the second place, a conversion that is God glorifying, where the church may receive a little beginning with those vehement desires, and then to be given to end and glorify a free and sovereign grace. Thirdly, the converted people, they are the happiest people upon the world. When we think of that old Moses, when he has blessed the tribes of Israel, then at the end he has exclaimed in Deuteronomy 33, verse 29, happy art thou, O Israel, who was like unto thee, saved by the Lord. The psalmist in Psalm 144, verse 15, happy is the people that is in such a case, whose God is the Lord. Have we become jealous of the true people of God? But now that word conversion, That also has a broader meaning, and that is the whole life of the child of God, from the time that he has been wrought upon by the Spirit to the end of his journey. And to that end, our instructors, then in the part of gratitude, they are given to speak of conversion. Then we read in the question of how many parts doth the true conversion of man consist. Then by renewal, the instructors, they use that word true. That as we go through our catechism, because the heart can be so deceitful, and that when we begin the part of gratitude, that each and every one that has a hope that the Lord has worked in their heart, that they may be given to examine themselves, because there can be a conversion also from the world to the church, can be sickbed conversions. When the Lord comes with great afflictions, with serious callings, and that it yet ebbs away, we read in the scripture of temporal conversion with that stony ground hearing. And now concerning that question, then it is not a question that offends the true child of God, because the true child of God, they are given to examine themselves oftentimes, and they are not afraid. They need that examination, because there can be many questions. Then oftentimes they are even given to say, Lord, if it is still wrong, wilt thou begin that good work at this moment, because I cannot live without thee, and I cannot die without thee. Concerning that examination, if a policeman would come to our house, boys and girls, and we have not stolen nothing, then we would not be so careful, then we would not be so afraid when that policeman comes to search our house. But when we have taken something, then there would be many fears. And now concerning that examination, also in this Lord's Day, then what a comfort and what an encouragement it can be for the true child of God when they may hear that true conversion explained, because then they shall hear matters that are not all strange to them. It is true, concerning the true child of God, they can and they may not deny what the Lord has done, and not to despise the day of small things. And when the Lord comes over, when the Lord speaks, when the Lord grants a blessing, and they may embrace it by that true saving faith, then it is so sweet and so unforgettable. It is true. When it becomes quiet, then that unbelief And Satan can come and ask, oh, whether they have truly received it or whether they have taken it. And to that end, also, Lord, stay number 33, can be such a profitable and such a blessed Lord's Day in the way of examination. When we consider that woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5, then with a holy boldness has been fulfilled in her life. All that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. And then she was so privileged to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus. And there is written that he has felt that virtue went out. And then it was the thought and the plan of that woman to secretly steal to her home and to be given to rejoice in her healing. But now the Lord Jesus Christ, in his great kindness, then he has stopped that woman and said, who touched me? And in that way, as she received the confirmation, O daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. May the Lord use this Lord's Day to that end, because there are precious and there are beautiful matters declared that shall not be strange for the true child of God. Of how many parts doth the true conversion of man consist? Of two parts, of the mortification of the old and the quickening of the new man. That declares that in the work of conversion, that man becomes a two man. There is spoken of the old man and of the new man. We have heard it out of Colossians 3, when the apostle was given to speak of the sanctification of the true child of God. And then he is written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Called the old man, because it is the older of the two, and has its origin in paradise, where we have fallen in our covenant head Adam. And now that flesh, that old man, that is never converted. But now in the moment of regeneration, then the Lord by his Spirit of virtue, the meritorial work of Jesus Christ, then he implants that new and that living principle in a child of God. Then they become part of the militant church. Then they have to war against the world and against the devil. But in a special way, that warfare between the old and the new man. That warfare that is typified in Scripture in different places. We have mentioned in this morning hour of that Rebecca, when she was expecting those twins, Esau and Jacob, and that they strove with one another, and she said, "Why am I thus?" That warfare portrayed between the kingdom of Saul and the kingdom of David. That warfare in the life of God's people that shall continue till their last breath. And now concerning those two parts, the instructors in few words, they have spoken of precious things, of the work of the Lord in the heart of a sinner. And they are matters that are not strange to the converted. Our second thought, the mortification of the old man. That word mortify, that means to humiliate, that means to defeat, that means to crucify. We have heard from the instruction of Paul to the Colossians, first exhorted that they must seek the things that are above. And then in verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And then he has mentioned many different sins. What is the mortification of the old man? Answer, it is sincere. That means that it is genuine, that it is honest, that it is without pretense. The Lord has a people that are glad that the Lord knows everything, everything that liveth in their heart. They are given to confess their sins, but they may tell the Lord, "Lord, thou knowest all things, that I love thee," as Peter has confessed on the sea of Tiberias. It is a sincere, a sorrow of heart, that is not strange to the true child of God. Then in the first place, then it does not go concerning the consequences of sin and concerning the punishment of sin. Does not mean congregation when the Lord begins that good work. Many a times the Lord uses providential happenings accompanied with His holy word that a sinner may be stopped and that he may be turned. And when the Holy Spirit uncovers and instructs, when God becomes real, when our sin becomes real, then we have much to do also with death and with the punishment of sin. And nevertheless, a difference between a temporal work, a work of the conscience, and the work of a heart, the heart. Because concerning that warfare, we must not make a mistake. I hope that we all have a warfare, that we still have a speaking conscience, boys and girls. I hope you may keep a tender conscience. And then concerning sins and temptations, than what a struggle there can be also in the life of the unconverted. And I hope that you may have those struggles, that you sin not so easily, that your conscience still speaks loudly, then there can be a fear of punishment, a fear of being found out, and a fear of shame, and that we are disappointed with self. But then the question shall be asked, what is now the difference between what we read concerning the mortification of the old man and a work of the conscience? Then let us mention one word, and that is love. When the Spirit begins that good work, then he sheds that love abroad in the heart, a love for a just and a good-doing God, that we are given to see that we have sinned against such goodness, such long-suffering, the means of grace, so many sermons, then sin becomes sin. The church is given to experience what I read in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance, a repentance not to be repented of. Ah, then for the true child of God, then this answer, then it shall include them, because each and every child of God, it shall not be a strange language. And let us state now already, when we consider the mortification of the old man and the quickening of the new man, then we must not think that first the time of that mortification and then the quickening. No, these matters, because our instructors do not say in this answer that there has been a time when I had that sincere sorrow of heart. Then they are given to speak of the present. It is a sincere sorrow of heart. It is true, there are many a times that the soul has to smite himself upon the breast, that it is not so sincere as it ought to be, that life is not so tender, that they do not have that close life. Nevertheless, the Lord shall never forsake the work of his hands. And the closer life the child of God may have, the more it shall be experienced each time by renewal. It is a sincere sorrow of heart that we, why does the instructor now use that word we? Would it not have been more proper if he had said that I have provoked the Lord by my sins? But he says we. Do you understand the reason, congregation? When that sincere sorrow of heart is experienced, and we are given to experience the exceeding sinfulness of sin, then for such a soul, then such a soul has a desire that all people, from the youngest to the oldest, that they would be converted and to experience that sincere sorrow, because then those souls they are also given to experience that sorrow, even weep. Do we not read in Psalm 119, verse 136, that rivers of water run down my eyes because they keep not thy law? Then it becomes the desire that all people may have that sincere sorrow, and then there shall be, that is the fruit of that sincere sorrow, that we have provoked God by our sins. Thus that sorrow that goes over, that we have sinned against such a good doing and against such a just God, and then the fruit thereof, and more and more to hate them and to flee from them. Ah, we have the example of Joseph, house of Potiphar with his wife. No father, no mother, no church, no office bearer, but a lively impression. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Congregation, lay not now your heart open. Be honest. When those things are experienced, does not go outside of us, but that is experienced in the heart. Place now your heart beside that answer. It's not so long, a few words, but it explains precious, special things that are experienced in the life of that true conversion and congregation. If you now have to say, it is still a strange language. If you have to confess that you have never become a mourner, as we read in the Beatitudes, and those poor in spirit, oh, ask then the Lord, beg him, if it may please thee, if it may please him, to teach these precious things. Maybe then a boy or girl says, but I do not want to be so sad. I want to be happy. And now concerning this sincere sorrow, then there is more sweetness therein than all the things of the world. Ah, what a special place when we may be given to pour out our heart, weep those bitter and sweet tears that we have provoked God by our sins. And then there shall be a prayer that we may be pardoned of all of our sins. Our third thought, the quickening of the new man. Let us first sing a Psalter 92, the stanzas 3 and 8. My soul is joyful in the Lord, in his salvation I rejoice. To him my heart will praise accord, and bless his name with thankful voice. And what follows, Psalter 92, the stanzas 3 and 8. Thank you. The true conversion of man, the warfare in this conversion, the mortification of the old man, thirdly, the quickening of the new man. What is the quickening of the new man? Answer, it is a sincere, a joy of heart in God. Then I repeated, congregation, the mortification of the old man and the quickening of the new man, they go together. And already when the Lord begins that good work, it is true, the one is more drawn, the other more driven. The one has a deeper way than another. But we have mentioned Jeremiah 31, verse 3 in this morning, that the Lord draws with his love. And that is a love that none can resist. And then they are given to experience a sweetness and a joy of heart that they have never experienced before. Can be proven. Because when the Lord begins that good work, it is true. There can be many struggles. And sometime for some, the Lord needs hard ways to break all those winds, all those old ways. But nevertheless, a joy. And that can be proven because for that people, with their missing and with their sorrow, then the bridge to the world shall be taken up. And then they do not desire to go back, but a desire to belong to that blessed people of God and to receive the pardoning of all of their sins. We shall only mention Ruth from Moab, a heathen, and that true people that can stand a little testing. Of course, it can fall in the flesh. But that true work of the Lord that can stand some testing. And then Ruth, Nehemiah said to Ruth, return to thy people, to thy gods. Orpah has returned. Why did Ruth not return? Because of this answer. Because of the joy of heart which she has experienced concerning serving the living God for that missing people. Oh, when they may come before the Lord, when they may pour out their heart, when they may confess their sins, when they may make that good choice, a sincere joy of heart in God. And to that end, they are willing to sacrifice and to suffer. Many have lost even all their possessions. That was because that sincere sorrow of heart, that sincere joy of heart in God. And now further, it is a sincere joy of heart in God through Christ. Further examination. The Lord can never look down upon a sinner outside of the meritorial work of Jesus Christ. Thus that joy of heart, that sweetness, concerning the service of the Lord, that is through Christ. That is a gift that Christ has merited for his people and that he grants in the moment of regeneration. And to that end, But when we read the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, the verses 3 through 12, then those mourners, they are called blessed. They are given to experience the joy of heart when they may receive those precious gifts through Christ. But now the necessity for the comfort of the church, and that is the work of the Spirit, as I read in John 16, the verses 13 and 14, not only to experience, because in the beginning then Christ is so hidden, it is all through Christ, but now the necessity to come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, because all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Then it is necessary for such a one to learn, how is it now possible, when they come with all their sins, original and actual, when they come to the Lord, that they are not cast out? Because the church learns, and they learn to adore all the attributes of the Lord, also is justice. And how is it now possible that they are in no wise cast out? Those pierced hands and those pierced feet and that pierced side, that blood that has flowed so freely, it is a sincere sorrow of heart. It is a sincere joy of heart in God through Christ. Then we have heard it so often that each time the instructor stress the saving knowledge of the Son of God, and with love and delight, do you hear, congregation, not a slavish fear, not a hard labor. Maybe there are boys and girls and young people that think, if I am now converted, then I shall have such a somber life, then I could not be happy. But we have heard it. A sincere, that's a real, a genuine joy of heart in God. And now the Lord is not of slaves, but he has a willing people in the day of his power. When we read Psalm 119, it speaks of precepts, promises, accompanied with prayer. Verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation by day and by night, and with love and delight to live according to the will of God. We have learned from Reverend Hellenbrook that in conversion four things are changed. Our understanding is enlightened. Our will to will what God wills. Our affections are sanctified, and also our walk to live according to the will of God in all good works. The mortification of the old man, the quickening of the new man. And then the instructors, they speak of more and more, maybe a soul in my midst that maybe questions, because if it is right, then that old man, we have heard it, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, and then further, that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Maybe a few souls that say, but at the moment, then it seems that with me, more the quickening of the old man. Oh, in the beginning I had hoped that that old man would be crucified, but that old man never dies. To that end, we must close, if not time to broaden it out. To that end, to watch and pray. Fourthly, the examination of this conversion. Then there is another question asked of for examination concerning good works. We live in a day that many churches, they become more and more a social organization to help the poor and needy, commendable. Sometimes we can even follow their example, but that it has become a social organization and that the truth is placed on the background. The necessity of this true conversion is not heard. And now in this Lord's Day, the last Lord's Day, we have heard of good works. But now after the explanation of the conversion of man, then there is given an explanation what truly good works are, to discover those that deceive themselves, that rich young man and the Pharisee, because they say not so quickly that it is I. But what are good works? Only those which proceed from a true faith. That is the root and that is the origin. True saving faith wrought by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, that is the rule, are performed according to the law of God. And then thirdly, and to His glory. We have heard it out of Colossians 3, verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And then we have heard it concerning that sanctification that concerns our whole life. Because then the apostle has said, wives, submit yourselves. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Servants, obey in all things. Thus the purpose, that is God's glory. We read in Isaiah 43, verse 21, this people have a form for myself, they shall show forth my praise. Congregation, how is it now with those two matters? A beautiful, a biblical explanation of the life of grace. The mortification of the old man, the quickening of the new man. Lay your hearts beside it, my unconverted fellow travelers, if it is all strange. Beg then the Lord that He may please begin that good work, that you may experience the wonderful things of the Lord. And people of God, 'tis a warfare. 'Tis a militant church. To that end, to watch and pray concerning those works. John the Baptist has said to the Jewish multitude in Matthew 3, verse 10, and now the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day. And even with all the snow, that we could still come up to God's house. May it please thee to be the after preacher. May we be given to examine ourselves, and, O Lord, bless us and our children. We may commence another week. Remember in the home, on the way, at work, wherever we are called to be, keep us from harm and danger. Keep us from sin and temptation. Wilt thou grant a prayer for one another? Remember the young couple that hope to be united in holy matrimony. Lord, remember man and beast in the winter weather. Once more, we commend our poor and sinking nation before thee. Wilt thou now grant traveling mercies? Watch over us in this night, and that in the morning hour, health and strength to perform our labors. May we be found good stewards of what is entrusted unto us. Wilt thou grant that dependent life? Forgive us of all of our sins, also of this day, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 205, the stanzas 7, 11, and 13. How long, O God, shall blasphemy and shame reproach our land? Why dost thou not destroy thy foes with thy almighty hand? Psalter 205, 7, 11, and 13. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.